let's talk about is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Just want to give a bit of a content warning off the top. This episode will be discussing intimate partner violence. If you or anyone you know is a victim of intimate partner violence, please know that we are with you. If it is safe, seek help. And if you feel like you might triggered by the content of this episode, please speak with somebody who might be able to help, and you don't need to listen to this episode. So with that out of the way, let's get started. Right now, the whole of the internet, and really the world at large, is having its attention dragged into the intimate details between two people, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Johnny Depp is currently suing, and they are involved in a defamation trial that is on to its third week, seeking $50 million in damages from Amber Heard surrounding an op-ed that she wrote in 2018 where she alleged that Depp had physically abused her and claimed he was an abuser. The reaction, because of, you know, we are in a Me Too era, we are in an era that is beginning to become much more understanding and cognizant, but also more reactive to claims of abuse or allegations of abuse. And Depp was dropped by pretty much everybody. And he himself has come out and stated that he was not an abuser, that in fact he was abused by Heard. And the trial that is ongoing now, he's suing for $50 million and Heard is countersuing for $100 million, has exposed to me that at the very least, the abuse went both ways. And what it really is showing a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are of a particular political persuasion, I guess you could say, are being shown the reality of male victimization in intimate partner violence. And that's what I want to talk about today. I had the great pleasure of one of my best friends and former colleague, former office mate, studied intimate partner violence, specifically being male victims of intimate partner violence in a research study, and she's turned out a pretty good career on stuff like this. So I was given a pretty much a crash course every single day about what IPV is and kind of current research on it. For the purposes of this episode, I'm mostly going off of a study done by Statistics Canada, and mainly focusing, I'm going to mention statistics for women, but this is mostly focused on the male experience, because it is an under, while intimate partner violence as a whole is an underreported and underprosecuted crime and phenomenon, it is even more so for men. There is, when I say underreported, in terms of crimes like this, specifically just crime statistics in general, are typically incredibly underreported. People do not like to be a victim. People do not like to call themselves a victim. People have certain experiences or certain situations where they can't or feel like they can't report somebody who has committed a crime against them. Things like property crime are fairly accurate. If you look at property crimes, because there's often insurance involved, property crimes like thefts and break-ins and vandalism and things like that are often are pretty accurate. Self-reporting data and police records and police data line up fairly well. But in terms of violent crimes and sex crimes, the gap is huge. Self-reporting data completely blows the numbers out of the water for what is actually in crime statistics, because people simply don't feel comfortable or safe or that they are able to report what they go through. So, data we do have on intimate partner violence, specifically by men or as men as victims, is that looking through data in a recent study, 4.9 million men, ever partnered being they have ever had an intimate partner. Intimate partner violence, just as a quick definition. Statistics Canada defines police-reported intimate partner violence as violent offenses that occur between current and former partners who may or may not live together. But the RCMP defines it much more broadly as just harm caused by an intimate partner, which takes many forms but is often the result of an attempt to gain or assert power or control over a partner. It's a very progressive definition by the RCMP there. And it is specifically about intimate partners. These are people that you share a close relationship with. You are much more likely to be a victim of a violent crime by somebody that you know and you know intimately well than somebody that you don't. Contrary to popular belief, you are more likely to be a victim of a crime by a family member than by a stranger walking on the street. Stranger danger is inordinately smaller than family danger, because these are people that you know, you spend all of your time with, they know you, you know them, you have certain dynamics, and you spend a lot of time together. And the people that you spend most time together with are the people you're going to have the most conflicts with. That's just basic logic will tell you that. According to Statistics Canada, a study by Statistics Canada, among ever-partnered men that have ever had a partner, this is heterosexual and homosexual couples, 4.9 million reported experiencing IPV in their lifetime. That's about 36% of men in Canada. 36%. If you want to put that into numbers, if you are currently sitting with three people, odds are one of them has experienced intimate partner violence at some point in their life. It's true. 36%. 33% is a third. 36% is just over a third. And this violence, it could have been a one-time thing. It could have been a serial thing. Could have been a repeated thing. And it could have been fairly... It could have been anything, really. There's really three types of intimate partner violence, generally speaking. It's obviously sexual violence, physical violence. Those are things that most people understand what those entail. We live in an age where those are understood. The big thing, and one of the big things that men experience, is psychological violence. So this is forms of abuse that target a person's emotional, mental, or financial well-being. Financial is under psychological, or impede their personal freedom or sense of safety. There are 15 specific types, things like name-calling, put-down, stalking, harassment, manipulation, confinement, property damage, theft. All of these things are considered as psychological violence in some way. The most common types among men of types of intimate partner violence among men include being prevented from talking to others, being put down, being told they were crazy, or being told that they were not good enough. Also, being slapped. About 11% of men who report or have reported, and this is reported to a study, this isn't reported to the police. 11% of men report that they were slapped by an intimate partner. And delving a little bit deeper, 7 in 10. So if you're in a room with 10 people, 7 of them, roughly, of people, if you had 10 people who had experienced IPV in their lifetime, if you had 10 men that had experienced IPV in a room, 7 of them would have been abused by one partner. 7 of them. The numbers kind of dip down as you kind of go higher. So 20% of men experienced IPV from one partner, 4% from two partners, 1% from three partners, and 1% for four partners and above. Being abused serially, thankfully, it seems to, according to the data at least, seems to be less of an issue, even though it still is an issue, it's just less common. But still, that number, 20%, have been abused by one partner. And that's still a staggering number. And it shows that in a lot of instances, because people don't often change partners all that frequently, that these people are putting up with IPV and dealing with IPV for a very long period of time from that one partner. And if you're thinking like, oh yeah, it could be like, you know, being slapped one time by your partner, because that technically is intimate partner violence. It might not be abuse, but it is violence that you've experienced, being yelled at, being put down, being, you know, whatever. Those things do happen. Those are still intimate partner violence. Those are violent events that are experienced, but they do not cross into abuse. Here's a number that I found very staggering. 11% of men reported that they were subjected to some form of IPV in the last 12 months. 11%. If you were in a room with 10 men, one of them has experienced IPV in the past 12 months, likely. I mean, obviously, this isn't like a sure thing. There are situations, obviously, if you just randomly sample groups of 10 men and who had them to be, you had them with perfect recall and be perfectly honest, maybe you'd get this number. But obviously, a lot of things that we're going to talk about make that so it's not not a realistic process. But the numbers remain. In this study, 11% of men said they were subjected to some form of IPV in the past 12 months. 11% reported psychological abuse, and 3% reported physical or sexual violence. An important thing to point out is that while proportions are similar between men and women, for this one, 12% of women and 11% of men experienced IPV in the last 12 months. 12 and 11% men and women experienced psychological abuse. 3% and 3% experienced physical and sexual violence. The actual number, while the proportions in the populations are the same, are very, very similar, the actual raw number, the prevalence, is extremely different. It is much, much higher for women. And this is part of why IPV among men is not as reported as often, is because, unfortunately, women experience it much more often, and they are much more likely to experience severe consequences because of that violence. So it is more likely that will either be found out or that they will need to report it for their own safety. And because there are more of these events happening, there is more of a record, there is more of an understanding of it, there is more visibility of it than with men, because it is extremely underreported for men, as with a lot of things with men. But going back to these numbers, 11% of men have experienced IPV in the past 12 months. If you have 10 male friends, one of them, going by the numbers, one of them has experienced some form of IPV in the past 12 months. That might have them being yelled at by their partner. That might have been them being put down by their partner, having their money taken away, being told they can't talk to people. Or it might have been they had a bottle slam, like, thrown at them, or had them slapped or pushed or whatever. Now we need to talk a little bit more about frequency. So we have that 11% number in the past 12 months. But to look at, of those, how frequently is it occurring? Well, 30% of women, 27% of men, so the numbers are not, proportions are not too different. 27% of male victims of IPV stated that they had experienced at least one type of IPV repeatedly, either on a monthly basis or more. And let's actually look into this a little bit deeper, because I have the table right here. Among men who are victims of IPV or victims of IPV in the past 12 months, a 35% said that they had their partner demanded to know where they were, who they were with, at all times, on a monthly or more frequency. 23% were told that they were crazy, stupid, or not good enough monthly or more frequently. 20% had their partner try and convince their family, children, or friends that they were crazy and tried to turn them against them monthly or more frequently. 28% reported that their partner had kept them from seeing or talking to friends and family monthly or more frequently. 34% were harassed monthly or more frequently by their partner. 25% were blamed by their partner for the abuse that they were suffering. So they basically victim blamed by their partner monthly or more frequently. 50% of men who were victims of IPV experienced that. That is, for 50% of men, that happens. In total, 27% of men, male victims of IPV, are victimized in some way psychologically. 27% of them are victimized monthly or more frequently by their partner. Physically, it's a little bit smaller, 11%, still a staggering number. 11% of victims, male victims of IPV, are physically attacked monthly or more often, because this can go all the way up to happening daily. But let's get down to harms. Because we've talked about the prevalence of these things. We've talked about the frequency of these things. We've talked about what kinds exist. We know that a third of men have experienced intimate partner violence at least some point in their life. We know that about 10% have, or 11% have experienced, 1 in 10 have experienced it in the past 12 months. We know that a staggering number experience violence. Of those victims experience intimate partner violence very frequently. But let's look at the reported harms. And there are some numbers that are very staggering here. And this is self-reported data. This isn't data that is reported to like police. This is data that's reported in these studies. And these are massive studies. Like there are a lot of respondents to these studies. So looking at the different impacts and consequences and actions taken by gender, these are victims of IPV in the past 12 months. While 92% of women reported that it had an emotional impact on them, only 86% of men did the same. And there's a standard error here. There's a standard deviation here, but, I'm not going to go that deep. 20% of women reported that female victims in the past 12 months reported that they were injured, while 12% of men did. 17% of women ended the relationship and separated due to the violence. Only 11% of men did. 13% of women showed symptoms consistent with PTSD, while only 6% of men did. And 13% of women contacted or used a service like a helpline or a harm reduction program or whatever, a shelter, while only 4% of men did. That number, women were three times more likely to use a service than men. It's still a very small number, 13%, but this is IPV we're talking about. The number that is staggering to me, men reported all of these things less frequently than women. Men are just putting up with it a little bit more than the women are. That's a value judgment that obviously it's all horrible all of the time. Here is the number that really shocked me when I first saw it. Among victims of intimate partner violence in the past 12 months, while 68% of women, almost 70%, 7 in 10 women, spoke with somebody about the violence they experienced. They talked to somebody, whether it be a friend, a colleague, a family member, a therapist, somebody. Only 42% of men did. Less than half. Of the victims in the past 12 months, less than half of men told somebody what was going on. And that is part of the issue that we are facing right now. And this is kind of the very indicative thing. And this is what I want to spend the last few minutes of this podcast talking about. Men don't talk about these things. And this is where I'm going off the data. This is my academic history. This is growing up as a cis white man experience. This is my experience knowing men who have been abused and experienced IPV and domestic violence. Men don't want to talk about these things. And it has been shown in what caused me to make this episode is something that was mentioned in the Depp v. Heard trial, is that the amount of shame that was used against Johnny Depp for things he may or may not have done, for things that he's alleged to have done, but also being told that nobody was going to believe him. We've seen in recent years, we saw this with very recently the Kyle Beach case. that men think that people won't believe them. In a lot of cases, people don't believe them. And we are beginning to see the consequences of that. As I mentioned, 42% of men who experienced IPV in the past year spoke with somebody about it. Less than half. Almost 7 in 10 women did. Female victims did. That is the only number, really, that is that far apart. Because men do not want to talk about it. And I'm going to use a word that people that are listening might not like. This is toxic masculinity. This is what toxic masculinity is about. Telling men that they need to be always strong, always in control. You can't talk about things. You can't be in pain. You have to show no emotion. You have to be tough. You have to be resilient. You have to never ask for help. Never talk about your feelings. Those are the things that are toxic masculinity. That is what's toxic, and it's toxic to men. It's toxic to women and non-binary people as well, but it is at its core toxic to men. It is masculinity that is harming men. It's this idea that we need to always be strong and that we can't show weakness. And saying that your partner hit you, saying that you are feeling emotional distress and pain from the things that your partner is doing to you, admitting that your partner is controlling you, is controlling your finances, is breaking things, is hitting you, is yelling at you, is degrading you. To admit that you're being hit is to admit that it caused pain. To admit that your partner is controlling you is to admit that you're lacking control. To admit that the things that your partner is saying to you are causing you emotional distress is admitting that you are emotionally vulnerable. And these are things that in patriarchal cultures, men are taught that they can't be. They need to be in control. So if your partner takes control and tells you what you can do, who you can talk to, where you can go, demands to know where you are and who you are with and who you're talking to and what you're doing at all points of the day, when they control your phone, they control your finances, these things are happening, that means you're less of a man in the eyes of a patriarchal society. And it is a Western patriarchal society, I should say. These are things that should not exist. They should not. If you are being abused, you should be able to talk to somebody about it. If you are being hurt, you should be able to talk about it. The symptoms consistent with PTSD, men were half as likely as women to show symptoms of PTSD because a lot of it is masked. A lot of it is hidden. A lot of it is stuffed down, and they say, no, it's not bothering me. Men underreport. Men are shown in lower proportions to suffer from, you know, common mental health problems because they just don't talk about their feelings. And it all coalesces into this experience where men are not reporting these things, and it's harming them. Toxic masculinity is harming them. And that's where I'm going to end it today. Thank you very, very much for listening. A difficult episode today. I had to stop quite a few times. You might have noticed. But thank you very, very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, keep that dial to 101.5. Got great songs, great shows coming up right after this one. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very, very much for your download. And as always, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe, everybody.